Okay, really lucky today to be sponsored by not only a friend, Mark Scratchard, but he owns a really great business called MAS Designs in Guiseley. I've got Mark to come along today, tell us a little bit about it. Mark, keen cyclist.
Yes, Tom.
But tell us a little bit about MAS, because you've always been involved in cycling.
Always. Yes, yeah, we have. So basically set up MAS Design 20 years ago this year in April. And probably for a good 10 years, we've been supporting local cycling.
Tom Pidcock's team and stuff like
that? Yeah, Tom Pidcock's team. I'm now involved with the Fensham House MAS Design junior team. She's got some good riders. And previous to that, the PH MAS with Neil Hendry and Paul Mills. That.
Yeah.
So, yeah, been a big sort of supporter of local cycling. Basically, we've helped out with the Otley Cycle Races, Ilkley Cycle Races. We sponsor all the kids' events, and we've got involved with the Otley Cycling Club in a big way as well this year. So,
and it's really nice that you're helping out with this as well now. So MAS Designs, anyone who's listening, if you had to kind of give us a brief synopsis, that's my word of the day, how would you kind of sum it up if you could?
Yeah, so MAS Design is basically an architectural practice based in Guiseley, North Leeds.
Yep.
And we cover a varied sort of area work from sort of residential, commercial, new build. That's straight from the domestic market to new build house, commercial venture. So it's quite varied. Work locally, nationally, on, as I say, a variety of projects from the sort of small, large scale. Cover everything. And we're sort of big, as I say, we're big sort of North Leeds.
Fantastic. If they want to find out more, just go on Google, type in MAS Designs. There's an Instagram page, which I'll be linked to. But yeah, architecture, fantastic. Thank you ever so much. It's we'll point people in that direction.
Much appreciated.
No, don't worry about it. Thank you very, very, very much.
Thanks, Tom.
Welcome back to The Move. We're here in Headingley. No, only joking. We are here in Headingley. No, we are here in Headingley.
Lancashire, great episode one.
Yeah, Lancashire. Yeah. So here in Yorkshire, at my gaff again, and I'm really lucky that I have been welcomed, well, I've welcomed him, Ben Wiggins. Hello, Ben.
Thanks for having me on.
Mate, no worries. You've been doing a, sorry, we're sat down today. It's a little bit informal. I didn't want to do it on a table. It's like a fucking interview. But you've done a time trial this morning.
Yeah, so
in Borough Bridge. Yeah, you seem a bit fucked. Yeah, I was like, is this guy like been smoking weed?
No, I'm just bicarbed up. It's basically the same thing.
So. Bicarb, what's that?
It's just a thing you take for TT or like a hard effort.
Bicarb,
it's quite big. Have you never heard of bicarb?
Is it? I've heard of bicarbonate and soda.
Yeah, yeah, that's what it is.
Is that what it is? Yeah. And what's that supposed to do?
It's a lactate buffer. So if you're doing a really hard, it just buffers the. You know, you don't feel your legs as much.
Basically. Do you take anything else?
Normally, yeah, but I'll keep that quiet.
Keep that quiet.
No,
whoa.
But no, other things, yeah, but that's for bigger events, not a local.
And how did you get on today?
Yeah, I broke the course record. It was all right, yeah.
Do you know who held it? Was it Phil Graves or?
Simon Wilson. He used to ride for Ribble.
I know Simon.
Back in the day.
Boggly Eye. That's what we used to call him. Sorry, Si. And how much did you beat it by?
Around a minute. It was at least about 45 seconds a minute. Right. I don't know. Yeah.
And did you, do you use power on your time trial bike?
Yeah.
And do you know what you did?
I do, yeah.
Go on.
I'll say.
No, go on.
It was more than 400.
For
48 minutes, yeah.
More than 400. Yeah.
I'm not giving a figure. I know people will be listening.
And you look like you're pretty light. How much do you weigh?
I'm like 74 kilos. Yeah.
I couldn't.
A lot lighter than I used to be.
Yeah. No, I thought that when I saw you.
No, yeah. I thought you were going to be. Lost a lot of weight this year.
So. Yeah, I thought you were going to be a big lad.
Yeah.
And I thought, no, I think I could take it.
I didn't used
fight.
To be. I was a rugby player, so.
I saw that on your Instagram. So you did 400 plus.
Yeah.
For 48 minutes.
Yeah.
In a time
around
trial,
around 400
in a time trial
people
position.
People can speculate what it was, but it was around 400
in a time trial position.
Yeah,
not even uphill.
Yeah, there were bits of uphill. Yeah.
See, I always found it so. I could never do
it. It's just, it's there's context to the number, because obviously you're pressing on uphill, and then maybe you'd like come off the gas a little bit going downhill once you're back up to speed, so just right. to recover a little bit. So
right.
I mean, I try not to look at the absolute number, so it's more about what I do in different sections
right.
that matter to me, really.
Do me a favour. Tell me how you can keep power going. So I'm trying to put on the track cycling in the background for you. we're flicking between the track cycling, San Sebastian, and the Community Shield final.
And the Manx.
So I was like a fairly decent level cyclist. Not amazing, not shit. But I could never fucking do time trials.
Yeah.
And I mean,
I think it's just, like, I know guys that are super powerful, but they just can't do it. I think they just can't wrap their head around it more than anything. I think time trialing requires a big mental commitment as well. It's more mental than any other kind of discipline, I think. Because it's just you. It's just down to you. It's just down to what you can do. And I think that it's, you know, that's why I love it so much, because it's a lot less variables compared to, like, a road race, for example. So I think the strongest guy always wins a TT, within reason, obviously. Sometimes you can have an issue.
Well, hang on, because Alex Dowsett said the fastest guy wins a TT.
Yeah, but it's, I mean,
and I had to rack
nowadays. Yeah, but
I had to rack my brain around that meant.
Normally, the fastest guy is the strongest guy. You know, I think. I think for me, all this. Alex is a bit of an aero nerd, isn't he? So
yeah,
but you know, I'm
a purist.
I've always loved. Like, I love Ganna, Josh Tarling, guys like that can just do this at, like, mad watts, basically. Remco obviously is a mixture of both, isn't he? So I love guys like that, rather than that they've just spent a load of money on kit and then go fast, you know.
Do you know what? This is one of the reasons why I did want to get you over here, because I'd done a bit of research on you and heard that you were a bit of a throwback to old school, you know, because you're a Gen Z, are you? Millennial? I thought you were going to be Liverpool won the Champions League that year at Istanbul.
Yeah, he did, yeah.
And I thought he'll be well into, like, nerdiness. And, shit.
I mean, I've bought into it.
Because as a rule of thumb, I won't interview someone like that.
I've bought into it a little bit, because you have to now.
Oh, of course. You have to. No, I get that.
My kind of base is that I'm, you know, you just push the pedal as hard as you can. That's what I'll always do over anything else. You know, I'll put all the suits on and all that.
Because
you have to.
If you're not out there training, then.
Yeah, I won the junior IP with my skin suit pinned together with gaffer tape over the top, because my zip broke 20 minutes before.
Yeah. So you're not pressured.
It doesn't throw me off or anything like that. Like, some guys crumble when if something goes wrong with their kit and stuff like that, you know. But I never let it bother me, really.
I love that. Do you know what? I'm so glad you said that, because I look at this, you know, aeroness and, like, you know, and it does, and I said it in the Rob Scott interview, I do feel that football's going that way. You know, there's no goal of the month anymore. It's, you know, pass. You know, there isn't any more art in football. It's who's the quickest, who's the fittest. Can you pass between the lines and you walk it into the box? Statistically, people don't shoot outside the box anymore. And cycling is incredibly, trying to think of a word.
Cycling is becoming like F1, sadly, in my opinion. Some people love it that it's going that way, but it's just, it's not what I grew up watching anymore, which is, you know, the performances are out of this world, and it's amazing to watch in some people's eyes. And I think it's amazing to watch as well. But
oh, no, it is. Like, the talk
is just not, I don't think it's as pure as it used to be, which, again, some people like it, some don't. And I'm not saying I don't like it, but I always preferred the kind of pure bike riders from back in the day, you know, like, you know, talking like Sagan.
Yeah.
Guy Sagan, when he was coming through, he was the first guy. I was like, wow, like, this guy's amazing.
Cancellara, did you like him?
Well, no, not particularly at the time, because he was he was my dad's rival.
A rival to your dad.
But I never didn't like him. I was more of a fan of him than Tony Martin, for example. But yeah, I just respect all them guys massively, you know. I think what Cancellara is a prime example of all this aero stuff that, you know, didn't matter to him. He'd just go and do whatever he used to do for the hour of the TT. And I think as well, with TT and as well, everything's a lot shorter. So aero is more probably, being aero is more important because the TTs are half an hour rather than what they used to be. Like, I think the first or second time trialing the tour that my dad won was like, they were an hour long. And then
the Olympic.
That was 50 minutes. And then the ones in the tour as well, that were close to an hour.
Why don't they do that anymore?
I don't know. I don't really know. It's a bit of a shame, really. They don't really have 50K TTs in the tour anymore. They're normally like 30, 35, maybe 40 if you're lucky.
Do you know what? It's true that and Philippe Gilbert made a really good point.
But the race are going to try and get Remco to win it. So I think they'll come back in the next few years.
They'll come back. Philippe Gilbert wanted crits.
No.
I know, but...
They used to. Sometimes they used to do double days.
Because of the money. Yeah. You could actually have fans and it would be more of a... It's not a bad idea.
No, it's not. I think it would...
It would
maybe
be weird.
Not on the tour.
Maybe not on the tour. But the Tour of Britain, for instance, that starts.
Yeah, but okay, I don't know. I think crit racing should, and it is its own thing, and I think it should probably stay that way.
It is completely a separate sport.
You have the National Crit Series and stuff like that. I think that's...
I would agree.
And it has its place. I think it's great, you know. I think, especially, you know, Otley and Ilkley around here, they're two of the best nights of the year, you know. So yeah. I think... it has its place, definitely. You know, it would bring a lot of people out, that's for sure. Because, you know, you see more of the race because you're seeing them come through every 2 minutes. So rather than if you go and stand on the roadside at the tour, it's like whoosh and they're gone, you know.
Yeah, yeah.
So
you're living in Preston.
Yeah, Lytham.
That's it. And you're currently with, is it this Axon? Is that right?
Hagen's Berman Axion, Jayco, we are.
And is that still the Merckx's son?
Yeah, it is.
And what's that like?
Yeah, it's good. I mean, having, you know, Axel is obviously in a very similar position to what I was in, you know. His dad's Eddie Merckx, the best cyclist ever.
Exactly.
To have someone, to have my boss who have gone through the exact same thing that I am right now, and even more on a different level, you know. Especially growing up in Belgium as well. It's like football over there. So it's like football is in England, cycling is in Belgium. So it'd have been even more, it'd have been like David Beckham's kids coming through in England. And it's pretty cool to just be able to, you know, if I ever need, I'm struggling with any pressure or anything like that, which luckily I haven't done this year. Like I have done in the past, I think that's, you know, I'm extremely lucky and he's been really, really helpful this year so far.
And what is the season, you know, we're coming towards the end of the season now.
I feel like it.
No. The thing that, because I asked you before when you sat down, I was like, you know, are you training more as a road cyclist? Are you training more as a track cyclist? You know, I look at your build, you know, you could be... Do the classics interest you? Does being a lead out man interest you?
Yeah, I think lead out man definitely interests me. Classics as well. And then stage races. I mean, I'd love to one day be a GC guy as well.
Really?
That's just what I grew up watching, you know. The first tour I remember watching was 2009.
Wow, no offense, I did not expect you to say that.
No, but I mean, that's what the Tour de France is all about, isn't it? And just, you know, the Giro, got races like that, I think. So, you know, that's where legends are made, really. As well, you know, but I'd love to just be an all-round kind of guy.
Yeah.
Maybe follow a similar path to what my dad did.
Yeah, yeah.
But that will come with time, you know. Maybe it wouldn't happen, but...
Are you 19 at the moment, 20?
Yeah, and I just think that kind of effort suits me the kind of effort. I'd need to lose weight, like, but I think maybe one day I could potentially, but you know, I feel like the sky's the limit for me, to be honest. So I could be, I feel like I could commit to anything I'd want to, really,
because
and try and do a decent job at it.
You know, obviously I didn't want to make this podcast about your dad, because that's unfair on you, but there is obviously a connection there because he's your dad. And something that came from hearing about Paddy Wiggins is, and what you just said reminded me, is apparently anything he put his mind to, he did.
Yeah.
Do you think that's something that you've kind
of... Definitely, yeah. It's one of the things I've been lucky enough to, that he's passed down.
Wow.
I've already, maybe it might change, but I feel like I'm never going to be someone that wins 20, 30 races a year. But I win 2 or 3, 4 really, really big ones. You know, I rise to the biggest occasions. I think like all my biggest performances, I've been on the biggest stage. And I think, you know, with all due respect, things like, you know, smaller races don't really get me out of bed in the morning. So, yeah, I think that's definitely one of the things he's passed down to me, and I'm quite lucky to have that.
What performances are you most, because, you know, you're only 19. I'm just looking at, you know, your pro cycling stats now. You haven't raced much. So, you know, but you got second at the TT this year you know, that was really close. But what else are you kind of really proud of? And, you know, is there a standout thing where you thought, fuck, I gave that my all?
Yeah, I think this year for me, I've just really just wanted to learn as much as I can, and a lot of it, well, actually probably 90% of what I've done is just for other people, which I love doing as well. You know, coming from a team sport background, I think cycling isn't really, you don't go into cycling to be a team player, and I think that's one of the really valuable things I've carried over from playing rugby and football, is that I've been, you know, I really invest in the team rather than just going for myself all the time.
I was really interested to ask you what stage 5 was like of Le Tour de Bretagne. You came...
Stage 5.
Can you remember that? Le Galisie to Saint-Mont-le-Grand. You came 115th, but it looked like fucking hell.
Stage 5.
Of...
I don't know. That week just blurred all into one.
Did it?
Oh, it was dangerous. It was a dangerous race, so I was like... And I was coming back from, it was kind of like the back end of coming back from quite a serious injury I had. So
you only did Gent-Wevelgem 3 days before.
Yeah, I mean, in that period, I was quite, not scared, but I was trying to not crash, basically. So I was, you know, I was coming back from a broken elbow. And like, for me, it was just about getting the races in, which was the most important thing for me at the time. So yeah, I'd be lying if I said I wasn't being careful, and I definitely, you know, if you look at a lot of my results from this year, they're not that good, but there's context to them. You only see a number on PCS.
Do you know what? I've never agreed more with that statement.
Yeah. Yeah. So like,
you could have the ride of your life.
But like, it gets noticed by the people that matter.
Philippe Gilbert, you know, turned pro for FDJ,
yeah,
and he didn't win a race. It's because he was just constantly knocking the fuck out.
That's cycling, you know. I think everyone just wants to win all the time, which is fair enough. I mean, I'd love to, but it's just not the reality of the situation that I'm in, you know. I think, like in Tour Bretagne, the day after, I was in the break for 160K. And we got caught with 10K to go.
And you'll never forget that day.
Well, exactly, yeah. And like, but I finished 85th or something.
Yeah.
But
it looks shit, yeah.
But no, if it goes another way, if the bunch sit up for 2 minutes,
or a win.
I could have won the race.
I know.
So like, you know, and then there's other races where, you know, I think the race after, I rode for GB at All End Nations Cup.
Yeah, you did.
I spent all week riding for my teammate on the front. And like,
this is so interesting because...
So like, yeah, I finished like... All my results were outside the top 100. There, I didn't even finish the race because I just nailed myself for my mate, and like,
because you did Circuit de Wallonie and Flèche d'Ardenne, but they're like fucking mountains.
Yeah, and again, there's context to Circuit de Wallonie because I felt I had the legs to, you know,
but
get top 10.
But they're mountainous, aren't they? Like,
what? No, Circuit de Wallonie wasn't too bad. It was a race that really suited me actually, but you know, hit the climb, my chain comes off, and there's no coming back. It was a key point in the race, and I just didn't come back but I had the legs to do really well. And then, but that's just the way it is, you know. I've learned so much. I feel like I'm not just saying this. And people can vouch for me. I'm really in a position where I can win races now. And then even my recent race, I got a bit ill and then had to pull out.
Which one was that?
I was Tour of Alsace.
All right.
And that's just cycling, you know. But I think I'm, as I said, I'm probably never going to be someone like Pogacar who's going to win every race he starts, because I've not got...
Ben, I don't think anyone is going to be like him. Don't worry about that, lad.
The way I work, I'm just... When I want something, no one wants it as much as me.
Great.
But then there's also a complete opposite to that where I can not be bothered at all.
Yeah.
You know? And it's like... And I'm someone that struggles. Like, when the race goes away from me, I just check out and I'll climb off. You know, just something like that. Because, you know, I see myself as a winner. You know, I don't care about getting round and finishing 80th, you know.
If you ain't for the win, pull the pin.
Exactly, yeah.
Mate, I really love this attitude because I'm seeing, again, nowhere near, you know, the standard you'll probably get to. But I was like that. I couldn't understand people who just wanted to get round.
I don't get it either. I don't like this.
Or who wouldn't attack.
But like the national champs this year was a perfect example.
The road race?
Yeah, like I didn't finish.
But mate, that is a fucking savage circuit.
I didn't finish, but...
No offence. I was like... No offence.
Oh, no, it was. It was
hard. I wouldn't expect someone of your build to finish.
I had really good legs and I was like, right, I just finished second in the TT like 3 days before. And I was like, I'm going for this. I want to be up there with the big boys, you know, the Ineos guys and all those. And... I got stuck in straight away and I was 50 meters off making the winning group, you know. Well, like the group that went on to get to the end of the race. But after that, the move went and I was like, oh, that's it now. You know, checked out. But then you've got all these other guys that were just, you know, they're there to just finish the national road race, you know, finish top 10 under 23. And it's just no disrespect to them.
Doesn't interest you. No, I get that. I think it's expectations. For me, I'd have given my left nut to finish the Nationals. I did it in Rydell once year, and I think I lasted two laps. And Ian Stannard, who I thought, he'll never get around that.
There's no race like the National Road Race. It just, from the gun, it's just full gas, you know? It's just... Well, I guess every race is kind of like that now, but...
Who do you really rate at the moment on who's British? You know, your Fred Wrights, your Tarlins, Stevie Williams, your haters?
Probably Josh, yeah, Josh. But I grew up with Josh. Like, we've roomed together on junior academy camps and been to one European medal with him. And, you know, we're good mates, so I think... Obviously, I'm really happy to see where he's at right now.
Were you gutted about his puncture?
Yeah, I was pretty gutted for him. But the Olympics means a lot to me as well and my family. So it definitely, you know, I was gutted for him, to be honest, yeah. But again, shit like that happens, doesn't it? So I mean, he'll move on. Like, he had to because he had to road race. And then I believe he's starting the Vuelta next weekend. So
fuck.
Yeah, that's the thing with cycling. I think I was saying to someone the other day, like, the Olympics ain't necessarily the pinnacle for us. I think so many other sports, it's like, I think tennis is the same. Like, in so many other sports, like, you train just for the Olympics for 4 years, but for cycling, it's like, you're on to the next thing straight away. So yeah, it's kind of different experience for us, I think. But obviously, the Olympics is still the Olympics, but we have three or four things that are on the same level.
Would you rather win Flanders, World Champs Road Race, or Olympic Road Race? I was trying to answer this in my head last night in bed, and I think I've got the answer. Olympic Road Race.
I don't know. I think for me, it's between the Worlds and Flanders. Like, the Olympics ain't really...
I know, but you get a gold bike for like 4 years.
Yeah, but I mean, Flanders is eternal. You know, you're world champion forever. Yeah, I know, I suppose you're Olympic champion forever, but like, you are like mythical then if you win one of those two. but I'd probably say Flanders because you can win the Worlds and be a bit of a chopper. Not a chopper, sorry.
Like that year Rui Costa won it.
Yeah, like you don't have to be the guy. You don't have to be him to...
I know what you mean. Like you ain't going to fluke.
Yeah.
Because the World Champs could be a sprint. It could be a sprint course.
And I'd probably just say Flanders, but Worlds very, very close second. And I can't explain why. I just think Flanders is like Flanders. I don't need to explain.
Would you rather win that or Roubaix?
Roubaix.
Would you?
Just again. I think, yeah.
I really thought your dad was going to win Roubaix that year.
What year?
I think he got 17th. He aimed for it.
Yeah, but I think the mistake he made was saying he was going to try and win Roubaix. So then he was just a marked man, basically. He was 9th the year before, I think. And then he just went all in for the year after. And I can't remember what happened. I think something just... But it's Roubaix. Like, anything can happen. You know, you miss it, like... move you wouldn't expect would just roll off up the road and it's like it's race over, you know.
What sort of...
See, Roubaix is the complete opposite to Flanders. Like, normally the strongest guy wins Flanders, but the amazing thing about Roubaix is that anyone can win it. Like, you saw that when Matt Heyman won from the break.
Sylvain Dillier got second one year behind Sagan because he was in the break from the gun.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So, it's...
It's that apparently
that's the thing. Like anyone can win Roubaix. Anyone that's on the start line can win Roubaix, and I love that.
It's the hardest break to get into, apparently.
Exactly,
because statistically, you've got the biggest chance of getting to the finish.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
We've touched on your dad a little bit, but what sort of kind of in? Because you said you played rugby, and you're obviously into football because you support the greatest team in the world, and. But you chose
Scousers rule the world, mate.
Yeah, you know, but you chose cycling.
Yeah.
And I can't imagine that was by chance.
No. I mean, yeah, from as early as I can remember, I was in track centre, like at Revolution meets, just, you know, running around, pretending I was on the track.
Yeah.
And I mean, it was always going to happen, to be honest. But, you know, there was a point, actually, I thought I was going to be a rugby player. So... That was a...
What about academics? Were you ever interested in school, uni?
No.
No.
I left school early, actually.
Did you?
Did my GCSEs, did 6 months of sixth form, and I was like, no, I can't in this. Yeah. Can go back to school. I can't. I only get one shot at being a cyclist, so...
No, I'd agree with that. You have to be all in, definitely.
Yeah, I think so. And I don't regret it at all, but, you know, I think sport was always what I wanted to do. I never wanted to do anything different, so... And even if I wasn't be the athlete doing it, I'd do something else, you know, behind the scenes or something like that. I love everything that goes into it, you know. Like, and 90% of people can't understand it, you know. It's just...
Well, that's what Lance, he said, it's the process he likes.
Yeah, I say, I'm exactly the same.
Yeah.
But, like, I think I've said before, I don't particularly like cycling that much. It's just that I love the process and trying to win, you know. And then,
mate,
you either,
I was exactly the same.
You either achieve the goal or you don't, and you go again. You know, you reset, go again.
I didn't really enjoy training. I love it.
I say all the time, I can't wait to stop and never ride a bike again. I will never ride a bike again. The day I retire, I'll never ride a bike again, because for a few reasons probably, but. I don't go out and go, you know, for the love of riding a bike, and also for the fact that I probably would never be able to. It would probably depress me not being able to do what I used to.
So what do you go out for? To win? Just to be a winner?
The process. It's part of the process, isn't it?
And the end goal is...
And I love feeling fit. When there's no better feel... I love riding a bike when everything's feels good. You get to the end of your 5-hour ride and you feel... Fuck, I could do that again. You know?
Got a tan. Like,
exactly, yeah. Like,
got some white socks on.
I just got back from Girona, actually. I actually loved it there. I loved riding my bike there. But, yeah, I mean, I don't wake up in the morning and I'm buzzing to get on my bike, you know? But
I don't think anyone is...
My job. That's how I look at it. No, it's just my job, you know?
Motivation's a luxury.
I always think about, like, what get when I, if there's a day I don't want to go out, I think... my mates have gone to work today. I need to go to work, you know. Yeah. It's my job. That's what it is. And yeah, I guess that's what gets me out, you know.
So you followed your, you got a bit of inspiration down by the track, and then you got your bike, you started riding. Did your dad ever go, look, I'll coach you, I'll train you, I want you to do it? Or did he actually say, fuck this, get away from cycling? It's hard work and depressing.
Both, to be honest. I think, so I stopped playing rugby before when COVID hit and I started riding a bike. And I think as most parents do, they just support whatever you want to do. But he said before, like, there's nothing fun about it, you know?
I'm glad he said that.
I think there's like...
Because I've just had a child and I don't think I'd want them to do cycling.
I know, I don't want mine to do. I'd probably say no.
Just do like cricket or football. We've got to train twice a week.
It's also getting dangerous as well. You know, I think we've had two terrible, you know, unfortunate deaths in the past 12 months. And it's because guys just want it so much. Well, I don't even know if it's that, but they need to do it because the way cycling's going, there's just like, there's no prisoners, you know? It's just like people would kill you to win a race. I suppose it's always been like that in a way, but I wouldn't say there's as many crashes as there used to be, but I think when there are, they're worse. You know, I think because the speeds are so high, and
some people think it's to do with discs, but
yeah. But I also think it's made. I think crashes are less often in the World Tour, anyway. They're less often, but when they happen, you know about it. You know, I think with disc brakes, I was actually watching an old Milan San Remo with my dad the other week.
Legend. Which one?
97.
Is that what you do with him? You just like, because I love,
yeah, like sometimes
people think I'm a weirdo.
Sometimes, right? I just come downstairs and he's just watching some old bike race.
Yeah,
and I'm like, I can't believe how far away they ride from each other. Like the space, I'd be like loving it if it was like that. But now everyone just, you're elbow to elbow all the time. And obviously there was probably times back then where you were, but it's like running to the Poggio and they're like, there's like a meter gap in between everyone. And I couldn't believe it. I was just like, wow. But obviously that's to do with rim brakes. You can't stop as quick.
That's such an interesting point you just made. I didn't think about that.
Yeah.
Here's a question for you. Yeah. Why has no one ever attacked before the Poggio?
Well, I think people have tried, haven't they?
But why doesn't a team just put it in the gutter like halfway through and try and tear it up?
UAE have tried to, haven't they, the past few years. But I think just because it's so... It's quite far in between the Cipressa and the Poggio, isn't it? And then you've got to go up the Poggio faster than everyone else. Because that section of road in between the Cipressa and the Poggio is so fast. They're doing 60k an hour. You've got to do 65 and then get up the Poggio, because they're going to do the Poggio
quicker than you are.
2 minutes faster than you are on your own. So,
God, you know your stuff, don't you? You know your maths.
I'd like to say so.
Do you think Milan San Remo is the shittest monument?
No, to be honest, like, I'd if you'd asked me that question before, I'd have said I'd want to win San Remo more than any of them.
What about Lombardy?
I don't really care. I've never watched it, really, so.
What about Liège?
It doesn't really suit me, so. I think San Remo, if you could say Flanders, Roubaix or San Remo, I'd probably say San Remo. But then again, if you said you can only win one, I'd pick Roubaix. But if I'd... hypothetically, I'd won all three, San Remo would be my favourite.
Right, okay.
Yeah.
Interesting.
Like, if I was Mathieu van der Poel, my favourite would be San Remo.
What do you think to him, van der Poel?
I love him. He's my favourite rider. I love him.
Mathieu van der
Poel. I love him. He's just, like, people are not going to like this, but I don't like all the friends and lovey and hugging each other after the finish. I hate it.
I said, we need more
like fair play, sportsmanship, well done and all that.
Why are they taking selfies?
I don't know. I can't do
it. What's going on?
It cracks me a bit, you know?
What the fuck is going on?
But
Like, mate, we need a Roy Keane commentator, like, because it's
like,
getting
I think Van der Poel's a perfect balance of it. Like, you'll have a chat with him and all that, and he's friendly, and, you know, he's not got any enemies, say, but, you know, he's just, he gets on with it, you know. He's not friends with anyone particularly, I wouldn't say. But I just love, he keeps himself to himself. He's just, you know, your dog, isn't he? He's just, I love him. I just, no one, there's a lot of, like, you know, you see impressive performances every week now, but, like, and obviously Pogacar's just won the double and probably we're going to go and win the Worlds. But when Van der Poel goes, there's nothing like it.
Alex,
like, Pogacar just, like, picks people down, whittles them away, and then rides off, and it's explosive. But when Van der Poel go, Van der Poel don't need a hard race necessarily. I think it helps him, but even at the end of a hard race, it's still bang, he's gone, you know. And it's just so explosive, and it's like, most of the time only Wout can hold his wheel, and then eventually he'll crack Wout Van Aert as well. And I love it so much. Like, that Glasgow Worlds, oh my god, I was in awe. And I was there to watch, and because I had a AAA pass, because I was a rider as well, I managed to get behind the finish, and I've got a mint photo of when he, like, came off the bike at the end. It was awesome. That was my favourite bike race I've ever been at. It was amazing.
I prefer Wout Van Aert.
Because yeah, no, see, like, I love Wout as well, but I feel that strongly about Matthew that...
Oh, no, I can
people
tell.
People think I hate him.
No, I can tell. I can't get a fucking word in edgeways. I just think, wow, there's something about him. He's a little bit more understated. I find Matthew Van der Poel... I find it hard to like him.
I like that.
I'm a Remco and a Wout guy. But
I like that. So you people find it hard to like him because I'm the same.
But I'm Remco all day long.
I don't want everyone to be my biggest fan, you know.
So you surely must like Remco a bit.
I respect. I think what he does is amazing. I don't know. You're drawn to different people.
Mate, he's got
drawn to him. You know,
he's got a fit missus. He's like handsome. Used to be mint of football. Like, guy's a hero.
Yeah. I think probably like that Olympic road race was probably the most impressive thing I've ever seen. But like. So when he's on. But you know, he can crack as well, can't he? But it's just only because he's young, he'll develop and he'll be the most consistent bloke in the peloton. But
I've watched it back, the Olympic road race. I think I've watched it.
I'm a fan of him, don't get me wrong. I don't like him, but you know, I just love Matthew Van der Poel.
The crowd at that Olympic road race was insane.
Yeah, it was.
Imagine riding that.
Yeah, I know, it'd be pretty cool. Yeah.
It's
Glasgow was good though. Glasgow was mint. Even for our race, it was pretty cool.
I just thought the circuit was a bit of a joke.
The circuit was shit.
Because I did it when it was nationals, and it's a fucking crit.
Yeah, no, it was. Yeah, it'd have been better because the juniors, they just started us on it, and it was just the world crit champs.
Yeah,
and it just didn't suit me at all. So I thought it would be, because I rode it like the day before, and I was like, it's just going to be good, this. But then you get in the race and all of a sudden you're going twice as fast. And I'm like, no, this is not good for me. It was just a max minute. It was basically how many max minute efforts you can do. And that's just a crit, isn't it?
You
but
know,
a cross rider won every single race. Or a mountain biker. And
of course.
Obviously the...
Yeah, yeah. Now look, your father is an amazing person and someone who I thought was incredibly inspirational, and he's had a really tough time of late.
He deserves more respect.
Yeah. Do you think? Yeah.
Big time. I think he's very underappreciated. Maybe not by Brits, but I think in this kind of global cycling, I think he's massively underappreciated. I think people think he was boring, but I think that was the beauty in him, you know, that he was just so in control all the time. I think that was, if he was, like, I really like Matteo Jorgensen now.
No.
Yeah, but he's just a set, he'll win the tour one day.
Mm. But when you say more respect, that makes me think.
Well, like a lot of people, for example, people say Froome should have won that tour because he was a better climber, and he probably was marginally, but
No, I think people...
He put 3 minutes into him in TTs or 2.5 minutes or something. Like, you know, it's part of the race. It's not... The Tour de France ain't just about climbing, you know, so...
So with Froome, when Froome had to wait up on that climb, but it was the right thing because... Why would you take a fucking chance on Froome maybe winning when your dad had it sewn up?
Yeah, I think on that day, like, Froome would have got 30 seconds out of him or something. This ain't me slagging Froome off, by the way. I mean, they're mates now and everything's fine. I just think that...
He does seem like a lovely guy.
No, yeah, I'm sure. I've never personally met him, to be honest, but I've only ever heard good things about him, to be honest. And he's just a winner, basically. That's what he is. That's what the whole thing was, and that just happens in elite sport, you know. Egos get, you know, clash sometimes, you know, just that willingness to win. And I really admire that about him. I always did. So no, I don't have any animosity towards him, or we don't as a family. It's just, you know, I think that argument about that tour is invalid, to be honest.
And do you still think people...
And he won, you can't remember.
He won Criterium de Dauphiné that year.
People say that, you know, Froome was better in the Vuelta the year before, but my dad had broke his collarbone 6 weeks before. And he then won Paris-Nice, Romandy and the Dauphiné leading up to the tour. So, you know, not really going to change plans mid-tour, are they? So I just think it's... Yeah, as I say, it's a bit of an invalid argument. I think he won the tour. It's in the history books forever. So
yeah, I don't think people think about that. I think, you know, it's... Yeah.
No, just internationally. Maybe, like, I think British people, British cycling fans, you know, the response that my dad gets when we go places and stuff is, you know...
Because he's
touching, to be honest.
No, I bet it is, because he's had a...
Still, you know, now, like, people still love him, and he connects to people, and I think I love that.
Well, I started this podcast, Ben, because I had severe depression and addiction, and I was started on Christmas Eve. I was on a bridge, you know, off my face, and I had a decision to... I was never going to jump in. I'm not one of these people who's like, I was going to, but I was there a long time, and I started it that night, my first Instagram post, and it was to help people.
Yep.
And it was to talk to people who have suffered and struggled. And, you know, your dad's been brave enough to come out recently and talk about some things that have obviously happened to him. Are you just in awe of his bravery? Does it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Every day. I might get a bit emotional, to be honest, but he's my hero, you know,
yeah,
ultimately.
Yeah. I think he's a lot of people's hero.
I think everything I do today, 90% of it I've got from him.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Before the Worlds last year in Glasgow, I was just watching back the London Olympic TT.
Yeah, yeah, class.
And my coach was like, what the fuck are you doing that for?
Yeah.
But I was like, it's the most well-executed performance in cycling, I think, ever. Probably. Well, to me, anyway. It always will be to me. And regardless of who it is, he just happens to be my dad. And that day was my biggest inspiration.
That's beautiful.
So,
were you there that day?
Yeah, yeah,
yeah, yeah.
And yeah, it, you know, when it, everything he's had to put up with is, you know, it kills me, to be honest. But he's the strongest person I know. He's a strong, like, and if he can come out the other side of what he's been through, and he is, luckily. Still got a way to go, obviously. The journey's never ends.
Oh, well, look.
Exactly.
Mate, yeah.
But he's...
I'm nearly 3 years. And
I think he's just mentioned it, actually, in the podcast that came out today with Lance. He's, you know, he's had a long battle with addiction, you know. And, you know, it was... You know, because of it, it's been some of the worst times in my life as well. And
It's really honest of you to really brave and honest,
definitely,
Ben.
Definitely, you know, I've.
I don't want to make you feel uncomfortable.
No, I'm not. I think I've.
It was not my intention.
I've always wanted to speak about it.
Okay.
But it's like
this is a safe place, and
definitely,
and I don't want you to feel like I'm not a therapist.
Yeah, no.
But
you know, it's come out though. It's just, you know, it's.
Yeah,
in the news, you know. So
but I want you
it's
to know
a natural thing to talk about. I think
you can talk about what you
want.
Well,
we didn't speak about this before. We just got onto it normally, you know.
Exactly. Exactly. But as long as you're okay.
Yeah, of course.
All
yeah,
right, okay. Good.
I just think.
Yeah, because you must have. I've had friends who have had fathers who have struggled, and I do know a bit about it. And the correlation, there's a high chance it affects the children.
Yeah. He's made me a better person.
Yeah.
Made us him a better person, you know? And I think, yeah, I mean, there's been times it's been tough, but, you know, I think the way he looks at it and the way I look at it is that there's other people, it's not just us, you know? It's everyone, you know, everyone has their own problems, you know? There's shit dealing with, the shit they have to deal with, especially nowadays.
What are your demons?
What do you mean?
Well, what are your demons?
Don't really have any per se. I just think, yeah, I mean.
Do you smoke?
No, do I fuck?
Do you drink?
No, not anymore.
Do you gamble a bit?
Yeah.
But yeah, it's, apparently it's the most natural thing a human can have is to be addicted to something because we always want to feel good.
Yeah, I have ADHD as well.
Okay.
So that's very amplified. The things are very amplified for me.
How does that feel? How does it manifest?
I always feel things later. Things don't hit me at the time. So like when things, if something had come out in the news or anything like that, like it kind of just get on with it. But it kind of builds up and builds up. And because I think what, you know, I mean, I wouldn't blame it. I just think because how other people naturally act around me is that to, you know, they feel it at the time and I don't. And I think that just builds up. And then 2 or 3 weeks later or longer, I'm like, fuck, that really affected me actually. And I think that's also down to what I'm doing. You know, I just try to, you know, focus on the task at hand rather than, you know, I ain't got the time to stop and, you know, mourn things for 2-3 weeks, you know. And I think that's the thing is I think that's why my dad was in the situation he was in, because he couldn't stop and like let things, he couldn't just let things soak in at the time. Like his dad died in 2009,
yeah,
or 8 before something.
That was a strain. Was that a hard relationship between?
Yeah, them? Yeah, I think so. And obviously, you know, I think he was either going to the Worlds soon after, and you know, I think, and then he's lost his granddad the year after, who was a big, big part of his life, and he just couldn't really, because he was just so. Tunnel vision, like you just don't stop and realize that these things affected you.
But then once you do stop, it hits you like a
yeah.
Yeah,
I think
I can relate with that.
And there was, when he retired, there was a whole host of things that kind of, you know, because all of a sudden you're back to normal life and you're like, you know, how do you feel 25 hours a week?
Yeah, yeah.
You know, all of a sudden.
Yeah, no, I get that. Because
it's a lot of time, you know. I think you don't.
I get it.
However many hours are in the week.
That's why I was so.
25 hours is a lot of it.
When I was at Le Col, I met him a few times, but I was so interested because I could see how he felt.
Yeah, yeah.
And people, and I've said this to so many people, they know I'm not bullshitting. And I wanted to go up and give him a hug because I could see it. But obviously, yeah. I didn't know him and I couldn't.
Yeah, I think those years were probably the toughest for him.
Oh,
well.
I could tell. And I just wanted to say, it's okay.
Yeah.
Because
but you don't see it at the time, do you? You just see, you don't see the end. And I think, I mean, we didn't see the end as a family for a long time either. We didn't think there was going to be an end until quite recently, to be fair.
Things were getting that bad.
Yeah. There was a time I thought, oh, this is just going to be my life forever, you know. And I'll be honest, there were times I thought one of us weren't going to make it out alive, to be honest, which is sad, yeah. And yeah, I mean,
it's really honest, you know.
I'll be honest, there were times I was super worried about him, you know. Yeah. He was living at hotels, and there were some days I was worried that we were going to get a call that no one wants to get.
Yeah. No, I get.
And because he has a tendency to kind of, when he's low, he has a tendency to kind of just bury himself away and not contact anyone.
Yeah, which is normal.
And then when you don't hear him from him for a while, you know what he's up to, it's kind of like, wow, you know.
Well, look, I'm conscious I don't want to focus on this. Look, it's not fair.
Oh, I mean, if we had this conversation a year ago, I'd have probably started crying.
Yeah.
But, it's,
but look, you're only a young lad, and you come across incredibly confident, and you come across not arrogant, confident, and... If I was
arrogance is a perception, though.
Exactly. Right? Couldn't agree more. And I think people said I was arrogant recently in summit at work.
Yeah, I know. I was having a conversation with someone the other day about how I come across within sort of cycling, because I'm quite a closed book as well with new people.
I'm not surprised.
And
You've had a lot going on.
People have said to me, I've seem to have a big ego, or
no, mate, or you've had a lot going on,
stuff like that. You know, but I just try not to. You know, I'm just wary of opening myself up to people and stuff like that straight away. I don't want to come across as like this outgoing, because you know, if it was the opposite, I'd probably. But people are always going to have an opinion, you know. If it was the complete opposite, I'd probably say, "Oh, he's big-headed and a bit of a knob." You know, I just try to keep myself to myself, to be honest.
When you came through the door, you did seem standoffish, and you did seem quite, but I get it. You don't know me. You know.
It's nothing against, you know, I'm just like that.
Yeah. No, mate, you don't have to worry about anything. You don't have to, if people want to say, who gives a fuck?
Yeah. I don't really care. I used to read things and stuff like that, but.
What about your mum? Talk to us about your mum. Is that your mum? Is that who you live with?
Yeah.
Good old mum.
Yeah.
Does she make the dinner?
Occasionally.
Get the dinner on, mum.
Occasionally. She's lost her touch, unfortunately. She won't mind me saying, hopefully. But yeah. Again, I don't have enough words to say about my mum.
Yeah, exactly.
She's been through just as much as I have, and yeah, she's a star. I wouldn't be able to do anything without what I've done without her, you know.
And is she good? Is she okay?
Yeah, great. She's good. Yeah,
good.
She's the strongest person I know.
Yeah.
Both my parents are, you know, the shit that we've had to put up with, and you know, it was obviously she's been through things that people will never have to experience, you know, and it probably affected her the most out of everyone. Out of me, my sister, my dad, because she struggles with mental health, and she's been, she's had her battles with it, but yeah, she's a fighter, so she's good.
No, that's amazing, mate. It's really, people, like, you know, what you just said about pro cycling stats, and people might just look at a result and go, yeah, you know, that's the result, but
they don't watch the race.
Well, not even the race. People don't look at your life, and don't look at, like,
like, life don't stop, you know.
No,
there's life going on around those races, you know, as well.
Yeah, you almost want the, like, pro cycling stats to be caveated with a, like, oh, well,
what
actually
happened the day before and the week before and stuff like that. Like, you're going into different races with different mindsets, because different things are going on in your life at different times.
Yeah, I know. I remember when I was really low, doing like cocaine before a bike race, and just like, you know, as soon as I finished the bike race, I was, you know, oh God, those were dark times. Those are some horrendous times.
Yeah.
And I don't, you know, I hope I don't ever go back to those.
You felt brilliant.
You are. You did feel brilliant on the back. Well, I hadn't slept. Because you obviously don't sleep.
Yeah.
So yeah, I was hoping I'd feel great, but I'd smashed it all in the night before. Mm. So what's the future? What, like, you know, what are your aims?
Well, I've got some really exciting things in the works at the minute. I can't say right
now. Oh, fuck off. Go on. What have you got?
No, I just can't. I actually can't, but for just, you know, that's...
Cycling related?
Yeah, it'll be able to it'll come out in time.
Is it like with a team and stuff, or is it with a bike?
I think, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. I think just... I don't really know. I mean, there's just so many things that come to my head when you ask that question. I think just keep working hard, keep grafting, really, is my main priority. Hopefully, the World Champs in September, we'll find out about that in the next week or so. So,
on the track?
No, on the road.
On the road.
TT Worlds. And then some, yeah, Tour Britain in a few weeks.
Oh, are you doing that?
Yeah.
Mate, you will fucking listen here. You listen here because... I think I'm doing an interview because it starts in Darlington.
Yeah.
That's where my mum lives.
It's stage two's Darlington.
Sorry, yeah. Stage two. So I think I'm going to interview someone that night.
Yeah.
But it goes through Yarm.
Yeah.
Now that's where I'm from, Ben.
Yeah.
So you better do me fucking proud going through Yarm High Street.
I do my best. Them first 3 days are brutal.
Do you know how much I would have given my left nut to race through Yarm?
Well, no, I don't, but I can guess.
So when you go through Yarm, it's like 10 miles after Darlow.
Yeah.
I'll message you the night before. It's really flat to begin with, the race, but then
I believe it's going to be brutal.
Well, yeah, it goes up Robin Hood's Bay.
Yeah, Salt Bank again. Been up that a few times this year. Not looking forward to that again. Saltburn Bank, whatever it's called.
Yeah, Saltburn Bank. It's but look, mate, thank you for coming here again. I think that just shows the measure of you as a guy. You've driven over straight after a TT. You were fucked. You've got to drive back to Preston now.
Yes.
Mate, I respect that hugely.
Yeah.
So it's not often people come here, so thank you for doing that. It's been really interesting talking to you. I think you've got your head on your shoulders and you come across as a very confident guy. And fuck other people. And, you know, you've been really brave about your ADHD and some of the things that's happened with your family.
I only found out in September as well.
Did you?
Yeah. As well, that's another thing.
Can you do anything for it? Can you?
To be honest, I don't need to because I live with it for 18 years. So all it's done for me is just help me recognise behaviours more than anything as to why I do things. Whereas, like, I have for example, in social situations, I have a tendency to, like, interrupt people. Whereas, like, now I can just say, if someone goes, oh, stop interrupting me, I can go, oh, I'm sorry, this is why, you know. But whereas before, I wouldn't be able to because I didn't know. I always wondered why I couldn't concentrate in school, stuff like that.
You've got a lot of mannerisms like your dad, you know. It's fucking weird.
Yeah, everyone says that. Cal says that. Whenever I see him, he's like, lad, you're exactly like your dad.
It is so weird. Oh, God. It's spookily weird.
A lot of people say that, to be fair.
Well, look, I hope we keep in touch, and I hope that... I wish you all the positivity.
Can I watch the Madison now?
Yeah, watch Madison. Maybe get some food. Oh, who won San Sebastian? Let's have a look. Who are you betting on?
I don't even know who's riding.
I think Alaphilippe's won San Sebastian. I bet he's won. There's no way he hasn't won. Please won. I tell you what, right? People need to start fucking listening to me. I said it'd either be Alaphilippe or Hershey. Hershey.
Yeah, then Alaphilippe. He's going well again, Hershey, I believe.
Then Alaphilippe. I'm clever as fuck.
Yeah.
And then Navas got fifth. Paola six. Right. Well, look, Ben, thanks a lot, man. And I'll see you in Yarm. I'll see you going through Yarm High Street. Treat Yarm.
Depending on how the hard race is, I might not even know.
Well, it's only stage two and it's pan flat to Yarm.
Well, yeah, I mean, I think the first 3 days are really hard, and then as it goes south, it's a bit easier. So I reckon the Remco's supposed to be riding.
I know.
So I bet it's just going to be full gas the first 3 days and decide the race there. So we'll see. Well, my goal is to kind of get through those days.
Promise me you'll attack through Yarm High Street. No, go on.
Because I want to go for something in the back end of the race.
I respect that. Well, I'll be looking out for you through Yarm.
Thanks.
I'm going to get a flag up.
Yeah.
All right, Ben. Thanks a lot for coming. I really appreciate it, bro.
Cheers, mate. Thank you.